What's going on, guys? So on this podcast, I have Dr. Jose Campo Maldonado, and his expertise is in the infectious disease. So I wanted to get him on to kind of clear up a few things about what we should be doing, what we should be asking our elected officials, and what he sees from his side as far as insights. Let's go check it out. All right, so I got Dr. Jose Campo Maldonado on the line. And doctor, can you go ahead and introduce yourself and let everybody know what you do?
Sure. My name is Jose Campo Maldonado. I'm an assistant professor at UTRGV School of Medicine, and I am the director of infection surveillance for UTRGV School of Medicine.
Okay, so your specialty is in infectious disease, correct?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what are you seeing right now on your side as far as the coronavirus is going, and what does it mean for the Rio Grande Valley?
Well, what I've seen is that we started having a few cases that have been increasing recently. So the number of cases, unfortunately, keep rising. So that means that if we keep having more and more cases, we may be having already widespread community transmission. And that's what I want to use this opportunity to remind everybody of the importance of the measures that have been taken, including restriction of public gatherings, face-to-face contact, distancing from others. Those things are in place, so it's less likely for this infection to be transmitted, you know. So I do advise that people follow these recommendations, including hand washing, not touching your face, using cough etiquette, covering your cough or sneeze, keeping your distance and staying home as much as possible. Even if there is transmission out there, following all these measures will decrease the rate of what people get sick. So if you do that, then it's a more manageable situation. But if you get a lot of people sick at the same time, it's going to be a challenge for the Rio Grande Valley and our communities to take care of a lot of patients at the same time. That's what is called flattening the curve of the infection, trying to decrease the rate of infection so we gain time, and also if people get sick, can be taken care of.
Okay, so I think it's just a very trying time that the Rio Grande Valley, where actually the whole world, is going through, because we've never gone through anything like this before. It's a very interesting time.
Yes, definitely. It's an interesting time from that perspective. I mean, we were the ones who had to face this. I mean, there have been people in the 1960s that had an epidemic also. And back in 1918, that's the most famous one that killed a lot of people in the whole world. They experienced the pandemic. But it's for people who are alive today, for most people alive today, this is at least a new experience. All of us are somewhat naive to what is going on right now, but that doesn't mean that we don't have to step up to the challenge and try to do our best.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So obviously you're a medical doctor that specializes in infectious disease. What questions should we be asking our elected officials in the county, and what do you think our elected officials should be doing at this time?
Well, I think a lot of the things that have been done, I agree with those things. I mean, there have been orders to shelter in place. There has been a lot of education being released to the public, and so they set up some news conference, I understand, trying to get the public to understand why it's important to stay home. Why it's important to keep the distance. So those are public public health measures that I agree that needed to take place, and I'm glad that they decided to do those things. So in regards to that, I'm very happy with what is happening. What I will like to know is how much support we're getting, also in terms of making sure that for the time we start getting more cases, we have enough personal protective equipment for the healthcare providers. You know that there is a world shortage. So I'm not sure if it's in the hands of them to be able to solve this problem because it's a worldwide problem. But it's something that concerns me. And are we going to have enough protective equipment for those taking care of patients when we start getting the many cases into either clinics or hospitals? And that highlights an important concept, and is that a lot of cases are going to be mild cases, that are mild cases, right, that don't need to be seen in emergency rooms or hospitals. So I want to take this opportunity to remind people that if it's not you're not getting symptoms, signs or symptoms of severe illness, like shortness of breath or feeling very sick or having pneumonia, then most people probably can just stay home, right? Of course, if you think you have this illness or have been exposed to someone or who has this illness or you're getting, or you have been traveling, and in the near future it's probably going to be more common even if you don't have any of those risk factors. But if you have those and you are not severely ill, you can either call your healthcare provider or call the health department to let them know. But you necessarily need to have a face-to-face visit. And I'm going to say that a lot of doctors right now are developing the technology and the capability, and the rules have been a little bit more flexible. The government has done that to made the rules more flexible. The regulating entities made that flexible in terms of being able to do, for example, telemedicine or use even Facebook or other resources as long as allowed by local laws to see patients face-to-face through a phone or a computer. And some visits can take place that way or over the phone. So I would encourage to consider those options if your doctor offers that.
Yeah, I think the great thing about, I guess it's kind of a blessing and a curse, is that this whole pandemic kind of forced us to use technology and to learn it fast. Is that what you're seeing on your end?
Definitely. Everybody's getting up to speed to understand how the technology can be used. And I've seen that in the whole spectrum from human interaction and you bring this up, and this is an interesting point. I was talking to an ethicist from the university, and he made me aware of the difference between physical distance and social engagement and social distancing. So he and others have thought that maybe we should be talking about physical distancing and social engagement, because that's what you can do nowadays with technology, right? You still can connect with others in different ways. It's just keeping that physical distance that is important. But I see this happening the whole spectrum, from that basic human interaction to the schools or to healthcare providers, right? The delivery of healthcare. So the schools have come out with very creative ways to still keep the education going for students and also in the university. And also healthcare providers are finding other ways to interact safely with the patients, that some of those patients don't need to be seen face-to-face. So I think this is definitely, if you can think about something positive, maybe out of this tragic situation we are living, you can highlight that as a positive factor, I think.
Definitely. So are we, in your opinion, are we about to have our hospitals full of COVID-19 patients?
Well, I don't want to be pessimistic, but we have seen that what has happened in other parts of the world, and it will be unwise not to be as ready as we can. But being as ready as we can also implies to try to limit the transmission of this illness. I have seen some news release that there are some people who haven't been following these recommendations to stay home, or to have a large gathering in parties. Part of our common humanity is also to take care of ourselves, but also take care of others. So I will advise people to recognize how this can harm you and also harm your loved ones if you don't follow these precautions.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. No.
So I was reading in Dallas that they're already getting some of the convention centers ready to be used as hospitals. Do you think that the Rio Grande Valley will get to that point where we'll have to open up these big buildings like the Burt Ogden Arena or the State Farm of Hidalgo? Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I hope it doesn't, because that's what I keep encouraging people to follow all these rules, right? Because if we do that, we may not have to face that. But if we don't, then we will probably have to do something like that, or hopefully not that bad. But it depends on how flattened the curve is. That means how many, if we get a lot of people sick at the same time versus getting people sick over a long period of time, that's what we want.
I was listening to a doctor the other day that said that once you're hooked up to the machine, the ventilation machine, you have an 80% mortality rate. Is that pretty spot on? All right, guys, if you like what you're hearing, hit that subscribe button below.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
That's for COVID-19 patients it's not that you don't want to get in the machine, it's just that the getting in the machine is a marker of severity. So if you need the machine, it means that your body is very sick.
Wow. So besides the main cdc.gov and hidalgocounty.us, what are some other resources that we can use to stay up to date with the coronavirus?
Well, the UTRGV Health and UTRGV School of Medicine have put together a website, and I have collaborated with them providing links and information, and many other people have also provided information and links that are useful. And so I would advise to look at that. The World Health Organization has a ton of documents and information online also that is targeted to different audiences. So whoever, if you're a patient, if you're an administrator, if you're a college professor or a health provider, you can find useful information there too. Those are the main ones that I can think of, but I think Stanford has put a map that's very popular. Most people know about it. If you want to track that, but the Texas Health Department also has set up maps for, and I think that there are maps for Texas cases, and also there is a map for local health department by county. In that same map for Texas, you can also look at the different counties. So you can track the number of cases there. And it's been pretty accurate the last couple of times that I look at it. In the last 2 days, I saw that was very accurate. So that if you want to see what's happening, that could be another resource.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, Doctor, of course.
There is another one before I forget. There is a link, something that's called and I would advise everybody, this is probably the most important one, I was forgetting about it, is the CDC, it's called self-checker, CDC health checker. And there is one that they have in the web page, but I saw that they set up another one with Apple and CDC web self-checker, I think. What it does is that it asks you a lot of standardized questions that are important for people who may be exposed to this illness. So that helps because it gives you some guidance about what to do next, whether you need to call your healthcare provider immediately or not, whether you are at high risk or not for this illness. So if you are concerned that you have symptoms and that you may need to or have been exposed to someone with COVID-19, and you want to see a standard response to that, that you don't need to call a doctor or anything like that, you can just use that. And I think it's available and also in the UTLGV Health website. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go ahead and link that in the show description. But before we finish off the podcast, of course, I'd like to thank you for your time. I know you're very busy, and obviously I want to thank you for your time during this pandemic. But is there any other insight that you can share with us right now?
Well, this is a pandemic, and we all have to work to prevent the transmission the way it's safe, including hand washing, not touching yourself, keeping your distance, staying home. But let's not fall into the pandemic of misinformation and panic. So try to use reliable sources and don't fall into the temptation to believe everything that is said in the social media. Try to use sources that you trust. I'm glad that you are bringing up these questions and opening the opportunity for us to discuss, because that's going to be very helpful for our community.
Absolutely. Dr. Jose Campo Maldonado, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Have a great day. All right, guys. So if you like what you heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button below, hit the notification bell, and you'll be notified every single time I upload a video.